Genesis chapter number 8. Let's begin reading in verse number 15. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. If you will, please stand with me for the reading of the Bible. Genesis 8 and verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of the fowl and of the cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every thing living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night. Look at the last three words. Shall not cease. The name of the message tonight is this. Summer is coming. Summer is coming. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use the Bible to just be an encouragement to us tonight, Lord. And thank you, dear God, for all the sweet things that we've experienced even since the beginning of this year. We can look back into 2025. You've been so good. And Lord, and yet, this time of year is not always the easiest time of year. And I pray, Lord, that we'd walk away. Dear Lord, taking some of the feelings that we maybe struggle with during these months of the year and apply them to the bigger picture of life. And I pray that we'll be helped by it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church, for standing. I appreciate it. Well, I spent a lot of time observing God's creation. And I want to say this. When it comes to God's creation, the one consistent attribute is change. The one consistent attribute is change. Oftentimes, we grow weary of the season that we are in. Those who love the Christmas season soon wish for it above the fall time of the year. And then those who love the return of the robin soon grow weary of the winter time and the snow and cold. I think we're there, amen. Those who long for summer are soon wishing away the springtime blooms. And for those of us that love the fall colors, we're soon praying for summer heat to give way to autumn days. And it just seems like we go around in this cycle over and over again. In this story, Noah and his family have just spent, listen to this, a great deal of time in the ark. Say, preacher, from the time they got in to the time they actually walked out, how many days were they in the ark? Well, there's some verses that give us somewhat of an idea. If you want to flip back just a chapter to Genesis chapter 7, let's look at a few of these verses. God gives us some idea of the time span here. Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. Look, if you will, in chapter number 8, if you'll notice verse number 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And then if you'll look deeper into the chapter down in verse number 14, and in the second month on the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dried, and the Lord God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark. And so we have a little bit of a time span there. We can do a little bit of the math. And then there gets to be, amongst Bible theologians and scholars, the argument of which calendar we're using. And so it seems like that most people, though, believe that somewhere between 370 and 377 days, they were actually in the ark. And so if you break down the kind of chronology of the time, when they entered, when they left, they had the entering of the ark. We know that in Genesis 7:11, and 40 days of rain. And then we see the waters prevailing. That's what the Bible describes in Genesis 7:24. Then you see the waters receding in Genesis 8:4. And then the final, what I guess I'm calling the final drying period. And then the Bible says the surface of the ground had dried, Genesis 8:13. And then finally, they were given permission to leave the ark. So somewhere between 370 and 377 days. Now think about that, folks. That's just over a year from the moment Noah entered into the ark until he left. And again, the exact figure can vary slightly depending on how certain overlapping intervals are counted, but it remains approximately one full year, a little over one full year on the ark. Now, folks, think about this. I think we could all agree upon one thing here. Whether it was 370 days or 377 days, by the time they were allowed to disembark, they were no doubt sick of being on that boat. Sick of being on that boat. Seems like about February of every year, most Hoosiers are ready for spring to come. I've heard a lot of talk about that this morning. I think that is especially true this year. We've gotten more snow than we usually get in this part of Indiana. We've endured more single-digit days than usual and have clocked in more below zero wind chill nights than we normally would. And so by now, everybody's just kind of ready for spring. A young preacher once asked me this in a question and answer session. He said, "Brother Ross, how do you get your church to prosper during the winter?" And I smiled and then I laughed and I said, "I've never been able to figure out how to achieve that. We do not thrive in the winter. We survive the winter." And so sometimes you just feel like you're surviving the winter. Some seasons of lives, well, let's just kind of apply it to the bigger picture, folks. Some seasons of life, honestly, are just harder than others. And I have some good news. I guess I want to come and give you a little bit of good news. Summer is coming. Summer's coming. Brother Esta walked in this morning. He was a shivering. And I said, "Is summer going to come this year?" And he said, "Yes, sir. Yes. Summer's going to come." And he's north of 80 years of age. And so for over 80 winters, he's toughed it out. And guess what? Has happened every year for over 80 winters. Summer finally gets here. And so think about that. And that's good. That tells me that human experience tells us that summer's going to come. But folks, I got a more reliable source than human experience that allows me to declare tonight that summer is coming, because I just read to you Genesis 8:22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So if you're going through an extra hard season of life, let me give you some things tonight that I hope will give you some hope and encouragement and just maybe help you to hang in there a little bit, because folks, summer's coming. So I don't care what you're facing tonight, summer's coming. I don't care what kind of a hard season you're going through, summer is coming. Now, let me just point this out. First of all, there are worse places that you could be. There are worse, preacher, this has been a tough winter. There are worse places than you could be. You know, I don't know how they felt after 370 plus days on a boat. I would say this, by that time, the women are fighting. There ain't no way in the world you can put four grown women under the same roof for 370 days and have them liking each other at the end of that time. I think the men are sick at looking at each other. And at some point, come on, we get frustrated, but at some point, Somebody probably said this, I wish I was anywhere other than on this ark. Now, wait a minute, what did you just say? Time out. Yeah, we say crazy things sometime when we are going through a hard time or a hard season. Well, I could tell all 8 of the people that were on that boat, there is another option. Okay, there is another place you could have been during this flood. And sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we overreact because we're going through a difficult time and we start saying things that make about that much sense. Listen, I looked this up. I don't know. They guesstimate. But they say that there, at the time of the flood, the population of the world was estimated to be around 200 million people. Now, folks, I can tell you this. There was only 8 of them on that ark. And I know being stuck on an ark for 370 plus days probably wasn't easy, but it was a lot better than what the rest of the world experienced. Hey, I can think of a lot of folks that wished they had your seat. Did you hear me? Wished that they had your seat on the ark. So listen, folks, I know, I get it. You know, say, preacher, but I'm sick of winter time. Well, there's worse places you could be. Say, preacher, what's helped you to have a good attitude during the winter time is, well, I got a friend that lives in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I've talked to him 2 or 3 times and texted him several times. And when he texts me and said, hey, just to let you know, tonight it's going to be 47 below zero actual temperature in Fairbanks. And I look outside and that, you know, 11, 12 degree low just doesn't seem so bad. There's worse places you could be. The Periks, all right, the Periks that are in Siberia. I got an email from them about the beginning of January, and I texted them back and said, honestly, I just texted them back. I downloaded the letter and printed it off to put up there, and real quickly, I just always try to answer our missionaries with at least something, and I said, you two are my heroes. And during the winter time in Siberia, and I said, I'm praying extra for you. Thank you for being willing to serve the Lord. And he emailed me back in a timely fashion and updated me on what the low temperatures were in Siberia that day. And again, I went out, looked out the window and just said, hey, you know what? Come on, folks. There's a lot worse places you can be. Now, I think this, let's learn this tonight, folks. One of the greatest lessons I've learned, come on, I've been saved quite a while and been in the ministry for quite a while. But one of the greatest lessons I've learned to help me get through difficult seasons of life is this. You can find someone having a tougher time than you. You can find someone having a tougher time than you. And one of the things that will help you to get through difficult seasons of life is to find that person that's having a tougher time than you are and purpose to be an encouragement to him or to her. So number one, there's worse places you could be. Number two, I want to give you this, I think, word of encouragement. You will not be in this season of life forever. Okay, Mrs. Fulkerson, boy, I miss her. Amen. I miss her. You know, folks, ever since Mrs. Fulkerson's passed away, I feel like I need a therapist. I need a psychiatrist. I didn't realize the purpose she kind of played in my life. About once every, 2 months, I'd swing by the little trailer, me and Cheryl would sit in there, and we'd talk about everything that's going on in life. And she would always, she had such an amazing perspective of life. And by the way, this is a woman that faced a lot of difficult things in her life. And sometimes we would maybe unburden ourselves a little bit with something that we were going through, and she'd look at me and smile and she'd say, preacher, this too will pass. This too will pass. And you know what? I can't tell you, even since she's gone on to heaven, how many times I'm in the middle of something and it's hard. Come on. And it's difficult and it's real. And it seems like I hear Mrs. Fulkerson say, pastor, this too will pass. This too will pass. Psalms chapter 30, I've been kind of saying this verse to myself throughout the morning and preparing my heart for tonight. But, the Bible says this in Psalms 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? But joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. And a lot of times that verse has helped me out. You know, weeping can endure for a night. And when you're having those nights, sleepless nights, come on, tear-filled nights, it seems like they last forever. And God's word comes alongside and says, hey, hang in there. Sun's coming up. Come on. The sun's coming up in the morning. You know the song. I think Brother Nathan sings it from time to time here at the church. Once again, I face Satan this morning and I battle him all the day long. And in my weakness, God sent reinforcements. And at sundown, I'll sing victory's song. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old place is going to give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. How about that second verse? In a world filled with doubts and confusion, it's so hard when you don't understand. But I'll stand on a solid foundation and I'll hold to his unchanging hand. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This whole place is going to give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. And so, folks, don't forget that. You're not always going to be where you are now. Preacher, I feel like I've gone through a period of not being on the right side with the Lord. And by the way, if you go back and read this, the story behind the psalm of Psalms chapter 30, what prompted David? What events took place in David's life right before God had him pen Psalms 30? He'd committed a sin. He'd numbered the people. Now think about this. Sometimes, folks, we're going through a hard season because of the chastisement of the Lord. It's okay to say that. You know, it's not always somebody else's fault. And it's not always the devil. Sometimes it's our own ornery-ness that we just happen to go through a little bit of chastisement over. And now, think about this. He had numbered the people. He was warned not to. He did it anyway. He did it out of pride. Now, think about this. When a leader numbered the people, this was to prepare them for war. God was not in this numbering and offered David three choices of punishment. 7 years of famine, 3 months of defeat, or 3 days of pestilence or sickness. And I think David probably wisely chose the latter. But wait a minute, it still was with consequences, whereupon 70,000 people died. David himself became very ill. He built an altar on the threshold that he had purchased there. And there at the altar, David is forgiven for his sin. He's forgiven for his sin. He dedicates this altar and writes the 30th Psalm. But folks, listen to me. I want you, come on, young people. We're not careful. We treat sin too lightly. And well, if we can confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 100%. But we act as if sin doesn't have built-in consequences sometimes. You know, God can forgive your sin in heaven, and it's no longer on your heavenly record, but that doesn't mean that the consequences, the built-in consequences of the sin, he allows not to have to live through. And David had some consequences. And that's why we read Psalms 30. And let me read first 5 verses. O Lord God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me alive. I'm sorry. And thou hast healed me, O Lord. Thou hast brought me up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth for but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And he said, you know what? I've kind of brought this on myself. But folks, listen to me. Don't forget who is chastising you, okay? Your heavenly Father is chastising you. And you know what? I was chastised from time to time by my father. But let me tell you this, I never doubted that he loved me. And you know, sometimes in the midst of chastisement, we can get angry and we can get bitter and we can get a big pity party going. But the honest truth is, my dad never wanted to spank me. And my heavenly father never wants to spank me. But sometimes my actions, come on now, have some consequences. And I think the chastisement of the Lord, if you'll study it out in the Bible, is a reminder of his love to us. A preacher, I just feel like I've done some dumb things and done some even sinful things. And I feel like that because of that, I've been living under some judgment, some chastisement of the Lord. Is this going to last forever? Now, that's what David's saying here. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but watch this. Joy cometh in the morning. Wait, what are you saying, preacher? The sun's coming up in the morning. What are you saying? Hey, you know what? Summer's coming. Okay, this season that you're living in right now, it's not going to be forever. Well, what'd you tell me, Mrs. Fulkerson? This too will pass. Okay, this too will pass. Number three, this season will look different. Well, I want you to think about this. This season, whatever hard, difficult season that you're going through will look different through the prism of your memory. This season will look different through the prism of your memory. What do you mean? When you look at what you're going through in hindsight, it's going to look different than it does while you're going through it. It just is. You know, we talk about how much snow we have. And if you're from this part of Indiana, and we have a winter like we have, and you dare open your mouth and talk about what a difficult winter we're having this year, and there's anybody that's my age or older, let me tell you what they're going to start in. They're going to say, I'll tell you something else. You think this is rough. You never lived through the blizzard of 1978. Amen. And us old people will forever have that. Just to remind you that you're not really suffering the blizzard of 1978. We say it like it's a miracle I'm alive to even tell you about it. That would have been during the winter of my senior year of high school. And you get online, pull up the pictures. We're not exaggerating. We got hit pretty hard in this part of Indiana. I mean more than has anything that's happened since then. Matter of fact, if you'll go around the church one of these days, you'll get on this side, you know, the doors where we drop the bus kids off, that door there. It used to be that the front part of the church wasn't there. That used to be the last entryway before we built the church going forward there. And us boys, you know, we're getting cabin fever. Us teenage guys at the church. So we got on the phone and talked to each other, pulled out our cell phones and texted each other. We did this. Hey, what are you doing? I don't know, I'm going crazy. Can we get out? I think I can get my truck out. You think, yeah, you know, a bunch of crazy rednecks. We're going to get our trucks out in this. And we made it over here to the church and somehow got in the parking lot. And we wanted to come here and do something because we were sick of being at home. And the only door that we could break into the church, because in that day, you know, they didn't give teenagers in the church keys to the church. They didn't tell children the little code over here. And I've had so much fun this past few days. That handle broke and I've watched so many little kids walk up there and go, and I thought, you little stinking heathen, breaking in the church. You should know how to get in the church anyway without your parents' permission. But anyway, that's just the blizzard of 78. Let me tell you how it was when I was a kid. And so the only door we could break into was that door. And the only problem is the drift had buried the door. I mean, you couldn't see the back door. So what do we do? Well, we're guys, so we're going to do something. And so we got a bunch of snow shovels and we start digging down all the way to where the cement is. And then we got to where it was about that much. We're down there throwing it out. And then we get there and we break into the church. I won't tell you how, but we broke into the church. Probably still do it at that door, honestly. And we broke into the church. And because the church had a ping pong table. Why are you fighting so hard to get in the basement of the church? Because it had a ping pong table. And for about 7-8 hours, we played ping pong game after ping pong game after ping pong game after ping pong game. And so, you know, say, preacher, were you alive during the blizzard of 1978? Yeah. What's your memories of that? Playing ping pong? That's my big memory. I'm sure I shoveled a lot of snow. I'm sure I was very cold. I'm sure we had to jump some cars to get them started. I'm sure all of the hard stuff was there too. But you know, isn't it interesting that the memory I have of the blizzard of 1978 is coming over here, sneaking in there with my friends and spending an entire day playing ping pong. And I just want to remind you of that. Because God has a way, watch this. God has a way as we go through hard times. I mean this, God will help you with this. He will come into your life and he'll diminish the hardness of the hard times. Come on, if we'll let him. He'll diminish the hardness of the hard times and he'll magnify the good lessons. Because every hard season you have to go through, there's some corresponding good things. And you know what? There were some things that even in the midst of heartache that God did for you or allowed you to do that just, you know what? All of a sudden, the farther away you get from it, you know, it seems like the hard wasn't so hard and the blessings were a lot more. And so, you know what? I just want to remind you, preacher, you know, I'm not there yet. I get it. You're not there yet. But when you look back one of these days, you see Brother Cooper come in with himself, by himself, without his wife this morning, and five boys. You know, he has five boys, 7 years of age and younger. You see him standing back by the table, and he had those five boys around him. And I'm watching him. And then when he comes over to the house, and he's corralling these five boys, and we got a bunch of toys laid out. Grandma knows how to take care of the babies, amen. So there's toys, and there's macaroni and cheese, and there's all kinds of things to make boys happy, and they had a good time, and they enjoyed themselves, and they played, and I'm watching this guy, and he's trying to, listen, he's got a wife at home that had an emergency C-section. Come on, some of you are, I'm telling his story, but you know what, it's reminding you of some of the things God's asked you to go through. And she's home with the baby, and came that close, by the way, not just losing the baby, but losing his wife. And here he is just 4 weeks away from that. And you know what? He's on his way to Hungary, and he had an appointment at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And by the way, I let him off the hook. I said, if you need to be with your wife, you be with your wife. We'll work it out down there. No, preacher, I feel like we need to go. I'll just bring the boys, give her some downtime. Are you listening? And I'm watching him go through this time of life. And I'm thinking to myself, at times this has got to be hard. But I promise you, 10 years from now, when he looks back, he's not going to remember a lot of the hard. I guess I want to say this to, because we've got a lot of mamas that are in that same time of life right now. And, you know, you've got all these stair-step children, and life can get pretty chaotic and pretty frustrating at times. And you know what? Summer's coming. Summer's coming. All right, you know what? It's going to get better. And you know what? I think 10 years from now, you're not going to remember your most frustrating days. You know what you're going to remember? What's the old songwriter write? Precious memories. Listen, precious memories, how they... Isn't that interesting? You know, there's precious memories and there's hard memories, but isn't it interesting that if you'll stay in the book and stay close to the Lord, the things that linger are the precious memories. And so hang in there, mamas, all right? Because one of these days, I promise you, you're going to look back and you're not going to think of these as hard days. Listen, right now, they're hard days. There's some hard days in there. But you're not going to remember that. You know what you're going to remember? The precious things. Number four, let me finish by telling you this. No matter what season of life you are facing, at the end of your life, you'll be glad if you stayed faithful to the Lord. Okay, no, it's been kind of rough, yes. And been a difficult time, yes. And 370 plus days, yes. But when he got off, you know what he did? He built an altar unto the Lord. And you know what he realized? He realized, I sure am glad that I didn't go with the wicked crowd. I'm sure glad that I lived a life where I could find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm sure glad that in a world gone crazy with wickedness and unrighteousness, that I just decided me and my family was going to be the exception. And so folks, listen to me. You know what? I don't know what you're facing right now, but don't quit on God. Okay, stay faithful to the Lord. You know, I went out and visited Mom and Dad's resting place a few weeks ago before the first storm hit. I stopped by the cemetery. I just do from time to time. And I'll be driving by there, and the Lord, you all know this, that all of you that suffered loss, you know, you'll drive. Sometimes I'll leave the church and go to head home, get down at Bogle Corner, and the car just turns right. And I figure out the Lord wants me to go by and see mom and dad. Say, what do you do out there? Talk to them. Well, you can't talk. What are you praying to your dead parents? Oh, shut up and leave me alone. All right, I don't need your theology. I need healing, okay? And even if they can't hear me, I suppose the Lord can hear me. He can tell them what I said, okay? So just leave me alone. But sometimes I need those times where I... And so I'm sitting there in front of their... And I'm talking to dad. I'm talking to mom. And a lot of good memories. And they've got a grave marker there. And on one side, mom's side, there's just a reference verse. It says Philippians 4:13. And on dad's side, it says 1 Corinthians what? 15:58. All right. So I'm looking at that. And I'm sitting there thinking on the far left, there's Philippians 4:13. And on the far right, there's 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I thought to myself, you know, I grew up right in the middle between those two verses. That's a pretty good place to grow up. That's a pretty good place to grow up. I'll just tell you. And so, preacher, well, I don't know the verses. Well, I think most of you do, but if you don't, let me help you. Philippians 4:13 on the left-hand side, almost like on the timeline of my life. You know, over here on the left is Philippians 4:13, and over here on the right is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And thought about mom and dad. I began to think of all of the things that they faced in their life and all of the challenges and all the times where I'm sure that they didn't have the strength to do it on their own, but God gave them the strength. And I remember mom quoting that verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And sometimes quoting it through tears, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then I looked over to the right and there's dad's, the reference to his life's verse, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I thought to myself, here's a wife that lived her life saying, honey, we can do it. And here's a man that led his family by saying, let's just be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. One of these days, it's not going to be in vain. And I sat there and looked at those two verses and I knew they were there and I've thought about them before, but I've never thought about them like that. And I thought, Jerry Ross got to grow up right in the middle of that. Be a shame if I had to face some things and then quit on God. It'd be a shame if God asked me to go through some difficult seasons of life and all of a sudden I forgot everything I'd been taught. You know, folks, listen to me. I want to be where Paul is at the end of his life where he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And so let me just remind you once again, look right up here. I know it's cold. I don't know what it is. I think I'm getting old. But this morning when I was going out to the car to come to church, it didn't seem as cold as when I got out of the church and was going, I don't know if the wind picked up. I don't know if my blood's getting thin. I don't know what's going on, you know? And I sat there and shivered like y'all are shivering and grumbling and mumbling a bit like we all do this time of year. But then I was reminded, hey, you know what? Come on. I'm not in my 80s yet, but I've gone through. I'm in the middle of my 64th winter. Guess what? Summer's always come. Summer's always come. So you think, well, this time, well, if I base it on human experience, then I would say probably, but I don't have to say probably. Because I can open the Word of God and see where God promised Noah all the way back. Hey, you know what? Summer and winter is not going to cease. So if you're in summer, a summertime of life, can I say this? Winter's coming. And if you're in a winter's time of life, let me tell you this. Summer's coming. And let me say this, and we're done. And I don't care which season in life you are in. Let me just say this and leave this with you. God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the Bible. And Lord, thank you for Genesis. So much we can get out of Genesis. What a book. What a book. Thank you for men like Noah. We can just read the facts. We can read black words on white paper and not really think about it. But that's a long time. That's a long time for eight people to be on a boat. And I'm sure, Lord, that at times they were just sick of it. They're just sick of it. And sometimes we have a season of life that just seems like it's awfully long. We just get to the point where we're like, is this ever going to end? And then we read a verse, Lord, like the one we find in Psalms 30. And the sun's coming up.